Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and good evening to all of my brothers and sisters out there in the radio world, all of those that are joining me from over the internet. We would like to welcome you to another Theologically Speaking, and I'm your host, Jose Dorsey. Listen, I always like to begin every show the same way. I would like to thank all of the listeners out there for tuning in and truly making this a wonderful experience. I'm also thankful to our executive producer, James Brown. Brother James Brown saw something in me that I'm not quite sure I even seen in myself, but he reached out to me and he began connecting with me, and together me, him, and the Lord, we just kind of convened in a certain space that made this radio show possible. So I just would like to thank God. I'd like to thank our executive producer, and I'd like to thank you for coming together to make this quite an experience so far. As we begin to grow and deal with these theological principles and concepts, I'm very elated to be able to share this worldwide platform in such a way that our intentions is to reach out to people and ultimately help them to make a decision to move from unbelieving to believing, to move from being stagnant to moving forward, to move from ignorance to understanding, to move from where they are right now to some point of continual and forward progression in their understanding of the word of the Lord. Listen, wherever you are, you could have been anywhere else, you could have been doing anything else, but you chose to tune in and share your time with us, so we're ever so thankful, and we do not take it lightly. Before we go into today's talk, I dare not go any further without us invoking deity for blessings. So we just want to pause really quick and just kind of thank God for all the opportunities that he's given us regarding us being in this space, in this place. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for all that you've allowed us to receive. We thank you, God, for just providing us with these opportunities to minister over the internet, over the radio, for just being able to share our faith and show that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of you, Father, and we pray that you never be ashamed of us as your people. So continue to cover us with your blood. Continue to infect us. Continue to affect us. Continue to uplift us and build us. Allow us to feel and walk in the purpose that you provided for us. We're going to continue to trust you. We believe you, and we declare it all in faith. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Listen, the last time that we came together, we were able to discuss different issues regarding the call to ministry. Last Sunday, for those of you that might have missed it, you might not have seen us on our Facebook Live. If you would like to ever join us, we are Center of Spirit and Truth, and we have a Facebook Live every Sunday at about 11:30. Get ready to tune in so that we go into the Word of God. And we just expound on the word. We're very happy to do so and share that platform with the world. But I bring you greetings from Center of Spirit and Truth. where I am blessed to serve as an extension of the Shepherd's Arms. I'm the under-shepherd. We are located at 17609 Livernois. That's in Detroit, Michigan. We're operating right out of Skillsville Gym. We go into that place and we transform it into a sanctuary. We're always teaching church is not a what, but church is a who. We are the church. So as long as we are thusly gathered in the name of Christ, the Bible teaches us that there he shall be in the midst of us. And so far, people of God, I can honestly say it's been quite an experience, and he's met us there every single time. We come there not looking for nobody to be perfect from the preacher on down. We come there with an expectation that God's going to do something different in us this day than he did on the last day. But one of the things that we were talking about was the call of ministry. And as we began to deal with that thing, we talked about different aspects of ministry. When people feel those yearnings inside of their spirit, how do you know that God is particularly calling you into ministry? How can you tell that it's God that's actually pulling and tugging you? And so as we begin to deal with that thing, I encourage you, if you didn't listen to the last message, that you can find them on the website, Blog Talk Radio. Go to Servant Ambassador Vessels, and you will be able to find some of the previous messages there as well. But today we're going to, as we talked about understanding the call of ministry, today it seemed more fitting that we talk about the call to ministry itself. So I'm hoping and praying that today somebody might recognize where they are in their lives and understand the reasons for coming into ministry itself. I think that a lot of people have misconceptions about what ministry is all about. We see the glamour, and we see the pageantry, we see the robes, and we see how people come to other people in ministry, the influence and the power that they seem to have. But truthfully, my honesty is we tend to look at that and receive it in the wrong context. Many times we operate in it in the wrong context. That's not the drive. That's not the glory of ministry, to be esteemed high among people. If you really think about it, that kind of fit the description of what the Pharisees were like. The Pharisees wanted to be seen and esteemed among people, and they valued their traditions and their different mores or values above even the Bible, because they were so busy people-pleasing or wanted to be pleased to the eye of the people. That's not to strive for ministry. When we are on board with Christ Jesus, when we take this mind in us that is also in Christ Jesus, we begin to think like him, see the world like him. We begin to love like him, and there are so many different conditions and afflictions that come alongside of that. There are different sufferings that take place because of our faith, because of our convictions in Christ Jesus. I just want to get a little transparent with you right now, because right now I'm going through a divorce. I really hate the fact that I'm going through divorce. I do not believe in divorce. I believe that God allowed us to have marriage so that it would be an eternal thing, so that your spouse would be the very representation, physical representation of love expressed toward one another, and that it's more than a contract. Folk, we need to quit thinking about love as and marriage as far as it being a contract, because here in the state of Michigan, there's no fault. Anybody can walk away. I get ticked off. I don't like what you do. I don't want to be married to you, and suddenly I can walk away. But God's word says that's unacceptable. So then this is where the word of God is activated, where it says just because it's lawful, just because it's permissible, that doesn't mean that it's something that's valuable for us within the word of God. Because God holds us to a higher standard. He don't hold us to the standard of contract. He holds us to the standard of covenant. Okay? So here I am. I'm going through this because me and this beautiful woman, whom I love dearly. I'll say that again. I think she's a wonderful person, and the whole reason for going through this and even talking about this is not to in any way shame or put her down, because I love her, I value her, I lift her up, amen. I love her even greater than myself. But the reality is is because we have different theological perspectives. See, because our perspectives and theology is different, we find ourselves in dissonance or at odds with one another. Man and woman of God, don't you know that when you begin to accept and walk in your calling, things begin to go haywire? You think that everything is going to be peachy king and suddenly you're going to live in a nice house and you walk around in a nice flashy robes or nice clothes or have expensive this and people are flocking you and thronging you and you wave your hands and they're going to feel blessed and you just speak some words of encouragement over their lives and suddenly it's going to take root and suddenly when you just go and speak in one venue, hundreds of people is going to suddenly get saved because the power of God is just so activated in your life. If only it were so. If only it were so, everybody would be doing ministry. Everybody would do it. But no, it means like sometimes you and the person that you love have to go through some hardships because the enemy see that something is so powerful in your life that the only way to tear you down is to tear down your marriage. If I could just start in your household, if I could just rip apart your household, then how could you ever focus in the household of faith? It starts from not walking into some mega church and suddenly you speak and everybody catches on fire and burn with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it starts from a storefront. Sometimes it starts from just a vision that nobody could see to suddenly God activating it and moving in it, and suddenly people beginning to feel the change and the sincerity in your ministry and moving in it. This ministry thing. And I had to ask myself, is it cracked up to be what it's worth? We see it as being so awesome and wonderful, but is it? I truly begin to understand what they mean by a labor of love. It is a labor of love because sometimes the way that you love people, they might not ever love you back. Sometimes the toiling that you do and the times that you went out and laid hands and prayed with people and the times that you cried in your own personal closet because there were different things that you had to face and deal with, people don't understand. And truthfully, when you've been put in a place where you're called to be so strong for everybody else, how dare you show your weakness? That's how it has felt, walking in this calling, in this ministry. Here it was, I had done child exploitation investigations for over 5 years. I was not okay on the inside. There was something inside of me that needed some counseling, needed some love, needed some hugs, needed some kind of way to connect and express and let that thing out. But who could I talk about that with? So dealing with that, then transitioning over into going from walking away from a very prominent law enforcement job, and then on top of that, trying to like launch and run a small church plant. And trust me, we might think church plants are easy. Just go sit somewhere and start a ministry. It's not easy. I want to tell you it's not easy. It's actually harder because now you got to get into a space where you motivate yourself because you only speaking to a crowd of maybe 10 or 15 or 20 people versus people right across the street from you, especially if you're in Detroit, got ministries with hundreds of people there. And so what makes your ministry so special? Can I tell you that it's God? God's still calling this same remnant to continue to come, driving past all of these churches and all of those things. Why? Because there's something so special here that God is working and cultivating, but it's not easy. Not pretty either. Not pretty when you have to deal with something that is bigger than yourself. Deal with trusting and believing in something that is bigger than yourself. The call of ministry, let's just deal with the scripture. First, I'm going to deal with 1 Timothy. I'm going to begin with the third verse, 1 Timothy 1:3. Bible says, and I'm reading from the ESV version, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. The problem that was going on in Ephesus is they had different people spouting different things, and some of them were actually dealing with some heretical doctrine. So Paul, as he was dealing with Timothy and nurturing him as far as being a person that would come behind him in the faith, that would take on the mantle of ministry, he was teaching him and he was mentoring to him in the Word of God. Now, see, here's the one thing that as you begin to understand the word of God, it began to take root and take hold on your life. And so as it began to take hold on your life, let me just say it to you like this. How dare you go around stabbing people and you're not wearing bandages? The word of God is a two-edged sword. It's supposed to cut going in and cut coming out. So eventually, as it takes root in your life, as you develop proficiency in walking in the word, this is going to be what's necessary for you to help other people become more stronger in their walk of faith. So here it is. He was telling them not, he was charging them, certain people, persons, not to teach any different doctrine. In other words, listen, the word of God is it. That is it. That is our rule and our guide. That is the universal moral code. And so when it comes to this ministry, one of the things that you have to realize, having a call to ministry means that you are on a different level. Your different level means that God, you've already heard the beckon for Jesus to tell you as his disciple to come. You sat at his feet, you've learned, and what you have learned now, you're ready to go out and share as both a witness, as a teacher, and some of us have preaching ministries. So as you do that, understand that it's not based upon your perspective. It's not based upon your feelings. It's not based upon where you come from or what exactly you've been through if it does not align with the word of God. The rule of thumb is the word of God. I'll say that again for somebody that might have missed it. The rule of thumb is the word of God. So I say, look, I want you to tell these people, don't be out here teaching no other doctrine, not up in the church. Don't come up in here with that. Man and woman of God, understand that you have to allow yourself to say that, you know, it's in him I live, it's in him I move, it's in him that I have my very being. And I want to just echo, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So recognizing that, he doesn't give us a break. He doesn't give us allowance to just take a pause break from obeying his word. Man and woman of God, can I preach to myself for a second? He doesn't say, yeah, I'm okay in this thing where you actually get a divorce because, yeah, that means that you're telling yourself that you can take a break on my word. You can take a break from trusting me. You can take a break from believing me. You can take a break from realizing that I am that I am. You can take, no, I don't authorize you to take no break. You're not authorized. So that's going to be the same thing when you're actually helping people, but you help people according to the word of God. You're just an advisor. Come on, you're not no king. You are not somebody that sit on a throne. You are not somebody to be thronged of them or think that you're better than them, but you're somebody that will help them to understand the word of God. Flip over into Ephesians 4 and 11. We're so busy quoting the scripture, oh, God gave, he gave this and he gave that, and this is a fivefold ministry, and I operate fivefold. We'll argue that at a later date. But okay, man and woman of God, if you operate fivefold, how about operating with the same sufferings of Christ Jesus? How about flipping into the Bible and realize that they called them first Christians at Antioch, not because they were walking around and doing the pageantry of church, but it was because of their suffering. They were being persecuted. They were continually running for their lives, going into hiding, and they continually did that with the conviction that Jesus is whom he say he is. And another thing, they continuously in the teachings of the apostles, which essentially were the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The rule of thumb is the word of God. It said, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. Don't nobody care who your mama is, who your daddy is, how long they've been a presiding bishop or official at some given church, because they don't give you status in the eyesight of God. None of that matters. None of that matters. You ain't nobody. You ain't nobody, but then you're somebody all at the same time. It's an oxymoron, ain't it? You ain't nobody in that you ain't nobody above nobody else, but you're somebody in that God specifically anointed you and appointed you for ministry, not to go look down your nose at people, but to bail them up. Look, the type of Christ that I serve, he didn't look down his nose at people. Instead, he had pity and love, and he lifted them up. some of us, we can't forgive because of this self-righteous, indignant spirit that we have inside of us, this state of being that allows us to think that we are something so much more than what we are. We all puffed up. Be warned right now. The Bible says that he that exalts himself will be abased or humbled. But he that humbles himself, let God lift you up. Oh, I can deal with that on and on, but I'm going to move further. It said, which promotes speculations rather than stewardship from God, that is by faith. Understand that. Well, we're looking for man to lift us up. God is saying, listen, that's my job. Especially in his ministry. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That should be the very focus in this call to ministry. And a good heart, I'm going to tell you, a good heart means that you have to take self out of it. Now, if you have a worldwide platform, if you have a worldwide ministry, if you find yourself having to go to different places or you find yourself operating a ministry where you're feeding the poor and you're helping people who are sick and you need resources and you're asking for partnership, I'm not talking about you guys. And truthfully, if you're doing that for a selfish reason, then you're wrong. Because sometimes there's a selfish thing, like if I do this and it looks this way, then people will adore me. But I'm talking about those people who actually use the ministry as a crutch for their financial and personal gain. Bible tells you what the platform should be, love. And it flows or issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That means I truly believe that. I'm not playing like church. I'm not looking a certain way. I'm not walking or wallowing in this fad that we want to call this, what would Jesus do, or these different fads and trends, or these different things that we're doing on Facebook to try to act like I'm Christian one minute, I'm cussing the next minute, but a sincere faith that, you know what, I don't like it right now. I don't care what it looks like. God shall, he will. God will make a way somehow. He will uplift me. Oh, this ministry is ugly, and I've lost so much in the process, and it cost me money to burn my gas and sweat out my shirts and my suits when I preach, but I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it because he first loved me. I'm doing it because he took my place. I'm doing it because he has commissioned me to do it. He loved you so much that he sent me. And watch this. He loved me so much that he sent me to you. And so, therefore, there's such a symbiotic love kind of connection going on between me, you, and him that all of us are part of this process. We get these blessings that operate in multiplicity. For my sincere faith. Verse 6, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make. Kind of reminds me of study to show yourself approval. Workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some people get so caught up in what they want or what they think or what they feel, that we find ourselves down this road of vanity, this road where our discussions are no longer based on what the word of God is, or we rationalize God rather than actually trying to draw out his principles from his word. You are not called to be such a judge that you are able to throw aside his word. I don't care what Bishop said if it don't line up with what Jesus said. I don't care about what the Pope is spouting or how many times they wave their hands or tell you to run up and down, always. How many prophets are telling you that if you just shout or if you run, God's going to open up this money tree and suddenly start flowing into your life. Show me what had happened in the Bible. So we get so caught up with what we want to feel. We want to feel an experience. We want to feel happy and on fire, and we want people to tell us positive things. But truthfully, when I look into the Bible, when I look at the prophets of old, they didn't usually tell people what they wanted to hear. They told people what thus said the Lord. And so it didn't matter about what you wanted to hear. What it mattered about was what God was doing to bring things decent and in order. Some of us prophets, we got it wrong nowadays. Apostles got it wrong. Are you even an apostle or a prophet? That's questionable, considering what the Word of God demonstrates the calling to apostleship is. Did you walk in the physical presence of Jesus? Did he physically teach you directly from heaven? Prophet, is God changing something and causing you to come about to do something different from his word? I would argue that because the Bible says that he don't want you to take nothing away from his word nor add anything to it. I'm not here to question nobody's call. I'm here to tell you that what's your context? What is your reasoning? Is it based on his word? I'm based on my feelings. I'm in my feelings right now, like Kiki. I'm in my feelings. Kiki, are you with me? Kids are singing that left and right, right? But I feel like I'm in my feelings right now because it's so much around me where people will not be moved by the word of God. I'm a person that's made mistakes before, and truthfully, I believe that we'll all continue to make some kind of mistake. We'll all continue to fall down. But it's our responsibility to lovingly uplift our brothers and sisters. It is our responsibility to do it. But what is the crux that we do it in this ministry? When I mount the pulpit that stand behind that sacred desk on Sunday, I'm not standing there as this big monarch. I'm not standing there as a person that is above the people, even though I know the call to ministry is the highest calling. What? Why don't that put me above nobody? It does not put me in a place where I can minister to them and I can reach them, but it doesn't put me any better than them. It put me in a different functioning within the body because we all play our role. Notice that the head is the function of the body that can control everything. You cut the head off, you got nobody. You start losing members, you start cutting off arms and legs and hands and feet and different things like that, and you notice the functioning of the body become impaired. But even though the head sits up top, I still recognize the importance of how everything else has to work together. And if you want to challenge that, take your head off your shoulders and go set it down and see what you can do with just the head and nothing else. I dare you. And then try to tell yourself how much more important is the head than everything else. Surely it has importance, but everybody else does too. And truthfully, you get optional functioning when everybody, as the Bible says, every member of the body is functioning together. So let us not teach without an understanding. Let us be proficient in the word of God. Let us go about things according to his will and his way. Let us not make confident assertions in things that we don't understand, but let us stand firmly by the rule and guide, universal code of the word of God. I'm just going to read this, and I'm going to get ready to go off the air. It says, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient. For the ungodly and the sinners and the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. We've been entrusted to actually call out, use the word of God to stand against these things. But the word of God is our rule of thumb. Listen, I got to go into this more. I'm sorry, I'm out of time now. I've really been enjoying this topic. We have to revisit the call of ministry part 3 the next time I see you. Listen, I would like to thank you for joining us here with another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. May God bless you and God keep you.